Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, The Resurrection Life, from the series Stronger, and outlines three things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides for us individually and as a church. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want to encourage you, open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to begin in verse 20. If you do not have a copy of the scriptures, about every other chair has a copy underneath it, so feel free to take that and follow along. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is the resurrection life. It's the so what? Because last week we talked about the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. As a matter of fact, what we said was, it was so important, Paul ended last week's session by telling us seven things that are tragic if indeed Jesus did not rise from the dead. Number one, he's still dead. Our faith is useless. Preaching is useless. And he ends the whole section by saying this: if only for this life we are to believe in Jesus, we are to be pitied more than any other people. In other words, he says, if your faith in God is only for this life, you are to be pitied more than anybody else. Why? Because the resurrection life promises us not only life presently, but life for all eternity. And so Paul's making the case that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. And like I told you last week, it is one of the most historically viable, provable facts. If you set out to disprove the resurrection, you'll be among hundreds of thousands who have tried. All have failed. Many who have tried have come to know Jesus personally because of the overwhelming evidence. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is alive, and he has gotten up out of the dead, and he is with us here today. Amen? And that's really, really good news. And so what Paul's going to begin to explain is the so what of this resurrection life. And as we look in this section today, I want to highlight three things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides for us individually and as a church. So with your Bible open, follow along with me as Paul says this in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says this: but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. And the first thing Paul wants to point out is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides us with the certainty of a new life. The fact that Jesus Christ got up out of the dead provides us with the certainty of a new life. Notice what he says: but now Christ has been raised from the dead. That's the perfect tense. It means it happened in the past, but it has present ramifications for what it means now. It means, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead nearly 2,000 years ago, but his resurrection from the dead still has implications for us today. And not only did Jesus rise, but we in him can have a new life. It says Christ has been risen from the dead. Notice what he says: the first fruits of those who are asleep. Now, first fruits are really a representative sample. If you study in the book of Leviticus, specifically Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10, you'll see that when people harvested in the Old Testament, the first thing they did was they brought first fruits. It means they brought a representative sample to the priest before the rest of the harvest came in. It was a way of acknowledging, my first goes to the Lord and all the rest belongs to him. It would be the same today as when we tithe our income. It's not just saying, God, you get 10%. We're bringing our first fruits to the Lord, saying, God, my first and best belongs to you. And by the way, all the rest is yours as well. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was presented as the first fruits to his Father, saying, I'm the first one ever to rise from the dead. And the harvest that is coming of all who will believe in me are coming after. Jesus was the first fruit. I mean, if you study world history, you will only find one person who has conquered death who is still alive. There's only one. There are no others that have ever done that. There are many who will come in the end times claiming that I am the Christ and will deceive many. But here's what you can be assured of. Anybody else in the history of the world who has ever claimed to be Christ or claimed to be God has died and is still dead. Jesus Christ said, I am going to die. He spoke plainly about it. He did die, but he also said he would rise. And 3 days later, he did it just exactly as what he said he would do. He is alive as he has ever been. And through his first fruits of being raised from the dead, for all those who would believe in him, they too will never have to experience death because of who Jesus Christ is. Now, we live in a day and age where we don't talk much about death and we don't talk much about life until it impacts us personally. Until we go through a time where somebody that we love is suffering and on the verge of death or dies. Until we go through a tragedy where somebody that we know dies. And all of a sudden, it alerts us to our own mortality because the fact is every single one of us will die. That's why Paul said, if your faith is only for this life, you're to be pitied more than anybody else. Why? Because you will die. That the resurrection of the dead was not Jesus rising just so you'd have a good life here. Jesus rose from the dead so you could experience eternal life with him forever and forever. Amen. And this first fruits idea is what we see throughout the scripture and other passages. If you flip with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, he talks a little bit about what first fruits looks like using a slightly different language. He says, in him, in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In other words, when you heard the gospel preached, here's what happened. Having also believed, it means you believed in this, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge. Make note of that word pledge. I'll tell you what it means in a second. Of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. A pledge is a down payment that is made that certifies the rest is on the way. When you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit seals you with the promise or a pledge saying, I've made a payment for you and it's all going to be paid for. It's forthcoming. So what I've started is going to happen. It's the same wording that's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, just a little bit shorter passage. It says, now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge or as a down payment. It's the first fruits. And when we experience Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in us and lives inside of us, that is the down payment of everything good that is coming. It means Jesus is going to make do on what he says he's going to do. Now, how can we trust him? Because 100% of the things Jesus said he was going to do, he has always done. I mean, you study the life of Christ. He gave his word always comes true. So when Jesus says, when you believe in me, I will give you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as the first fruits of my coming, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He promises, he delivers, which is also a down payment of the future glory that we're all going to experience. And notice what he says in this verse 21, the second verse we read today. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. Okay? Now, I love the gospel because what God does is he redeems the things that are broken so he can bring redemption to the world. He always does that. How did sin enter the world? Men, do you know how sin entered the world? Through one what? Through one man, Adam. That's what Romans 5:12 teaches. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. So sin came through a man. And because man was broken, what did God do? God became a man. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. What was broken in humanity, God became so that that which was broken, God could redeem. What did man do to sin? Do you remember what he did? He ate fruit off what? Do you remember what he ate off of? He ate off a tree. You remember that? I mean, it was just a tree. We see a tree in Genesis that was broken, that man was told, don't eat off that tree. So what does this man do in the New Testament? This God becomes a man, and where does he go? His ultimate purpose is a tree, to die on a cross. Man ate off a tree, so Jesus is like, I'll redeem that by dying on one.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Resurrection Life, from the series Stronger, outlining three things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides for us individually and as a church. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
And then notice this, what is the result of man's sin from eating off a tree? It's death. So what does man do? Jesus, the God-man, comes and gets nailed to a tree as a man and rises from what? The dead. He dies so that we can be made alive. Let me tell you something. Jesus always uses the broken things in the world to redeem the world. Now, listen to me. This is really important because when we talk about the resurrection life, so often we talk about it as future, and it is a future event, where our soul will be reconnected with an eternal body, either for immortality with Jesus in eternal bliss or immortality in hell in eternal torment. That's what the resurrected life is. When you die, your soul immediately departs to one place or the other. It will be joined. We'll talk about the resurrection here in a minute over the next 2 weeks, but your body will rejoin your soul either to be with Christ or not. So it's a future event, but let me tell you something. Salvation is always talked about in the Bible as a past tense event, a present tense event, and a future tense event. I mean, that's why in Romans 8, it says, for those God foreknew, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. I mean, God stands out of space and time. And when God chooses who's going to be his, it's all in one moment for God, even though for us it's progressive. For God's like, I know I'm going to save Jeff. I know I'm going to save Jeff. And it's as good as done that one day I'm going to be presented faultless before the Father with exceedingly great joy from the Son, perfect in every way. That's as good as done, right? Now, I don't experience that yet, but in God's mindset, that's as good as done because I've already believed in Christ. And when we believe in Christ, yes, it's a past tense event. Yes, there's someday our resurrected life will be with him. But what does the resurrection life mean for us now? It means this, that you have the resurrection life and power of God through the Holy Spirit living on the inside of your life. And so you can experience the fullness of God right now. Here's what the enemy will tell you. You can't. Your life's not going to work like that. Look at you. Look at the way you screwed that up. Look at the way you screwed that up since becoming a Christian. God can't use someone like you. You've been a drug dealer. Hey, you've been an alcoholic. Hey, you've been sexually immoral. Hey, you've been mean to people. Hey, you're prideful. God can't use someone like you. That's what the enemy says. Here's what God does. God takes the most broken things in your life, and if you're willing to submit them to the Lordship of Christ, that's the ministry he chooses to use. He only uses broken people. Do you know why? He has no other choices. He has no other choices. He can't look for perfect people. And the problem with religion is we take our pain. We take the areas of our pain and we push them to the side and say, God, I don't want to deal with that. And yeah, that was my sin and my pain. God wants us to embrace that and say, yeah, this was the pain in my life. God, I confess that it was painful. Either it was acted upon me or I chose to do something wrong. I confess that to you. Heal me, God, and then use that pain in my life to help heal others, right? That's the resurrection life. It's God taking the broken things in you, redeeming them so that the world can notice a difference. Why? It says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. In Adam all die. What does it mean to be an Adam? It means that you were conceived. It means that you have a human nature. It means that you have a sinful DNA. From the time you were conceived, you caught the virus. From the time you came out of the womb, you demonstrated you caught it, right? Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one good, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. There is no one who does that. We all go our own way. And we demonstrate that from the time we come out of the womb in our own unique ways, right? We live for us. That's what the Bible points out. And all of us are, quote unquote, in Adam, in the realm of humanity. There's not one person that stands here and says, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. No, we're all sinners, every single one of us. But in Christ, all will be made alive. It doesn't mean that God saves everybody. It means that those that God has saved are in a new realm and they are no longer what they used to be. They used to be in Adam, but now you are in Christ. It's called a great exchange. It's a divine exchange. I take all my sin that I've ever sinned or that I ever will sin, and I place that at the foot of Jesus, and I receive in that moment all of his righteousness. Amen? I mean, that's the great exchange. I mean, when I think about that, I think about it like this. I take the dead life that I had and I exchange it at the cross for the eternal life of God's one and only Son. I take all the shame I have from my sin and I exchange it at the cross for the confidence that I have in Jesus Christ. I take the guilt from all of my sin and I exchange it for the peace that I can have with God presently. I take all of the discouragement that I felt in my life and I exchange it in a moment for the joy that comes through Jesus Christ. I take all the despair that I see in the world and I exchange it for the hope found only in Jesus Christ. I take all my selfishness where I live for me and I exchange it all for the service and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's this exchange that takes place. And I want to tell you something. It's not totally progressive. It's immediate. When I give my life to Christ, there may be behaviors that haven't caught up yet with my personal identity, but I want to tell you, the moment I trusted Christ, I am completely righteous in Christ. I am totally forgiven in Christ. I am 100% healed in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. Now, it may take a while for my behaviors to catch up with that thought, but at the moment I trust in my Savior, I am all those things. And here's what the devil whispers. No, you're not. Look in the mirror. Look at how you treated your spouse this week. Look at how you treated your kids this week. Look at how selfish you are with your money. Look at how selfish you are with your time. Here's what I would say. Don't look at any of that stuff. Look to the Savior and what he says about you, because if you're his, he loves you with an unconditional love, and you are already all the things the Bible says that you are, even if your behaviors haven't caught up with him yet. That's called the resurrection life. And if you'll begin to live like God sees you, everything in your life will begin to change. See, it's not just enough to believe, yeah, I'm going to heaven because I believe Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, you can. It's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But I'm here to tell you, there's so much more to the life. You can experience the fullness of God presently until you meet him because he loves you so much. There is no other religion in the world that can make the claim that their God has come and redeemed humanity and risen from the dead. There is only one authority of rising from the dead. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised by believing in him, he would send his Holy Spirit who's in you. There's no other religion that makes that claim. The Bible makes the claim, and I believe the claim, that when you trust Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Which means if you believe in Jesus, you don't go looking for God. He's already in you. You experience him and you allow him by being filled by him to use your life for incredible things, right? You don't need to go looking for God. You have the resurrection power of the living God already on the inside. It's called new life. And I'm just here to tell you, you can experience the fullness of all God has for you right now in this moment today. You grow in your understanding of who you already are. Amen? You already have everything you need for life and godliness, and it's certainty of a new life. It's not just certainty of a new life that's coming. It's a guarantee. We've looked at scriptures that are a promise of the down payment. I mean, you can look forward to the fact that if you die this week or you live another 50 to 75 years, hey, you can be in the presence of Jesus. That's a great thing. But I'm here to tell you, you can experience the fullness of who he is right now today in this place. Amen? That's good news. That's the resurrection life. And you have it in Christ. It's certainty of a new life. It means this. Let me just say one more thing. Some of you are here today, you're struggling with certain sins and you've struggled with them from the time you became a believer, and you hear this lie in your head that says, you're always going to struggle with that. That's just the way you are. You swear you're going to swear until you meet Jesus, but don't worry, he forgives you and one day he'll take that away. Or you're sexually immoral, but don't worry, one day when you die, God will take that away. Or you have anger issues, but don't worry, one day when you die, God will take that away. Mm-mm. I'm here to tell you, with the Holy Spirit on the inside, if you'll submit to him, he can take all that away. See, the Christian life is not just difficult. Let me tell you what the Christian life is. It is impossible to live. I mean, I've tried living it out. Can't do it. Even today, when I try to live it out in my flesh and say, I'm going to try to read better, I'm going to try to pray more, I can't do it. The only way I can live out the resurrection life of Christ is to submit myself to Christ and tell the Holy Spirit, you've got to make all the changes. You've got to do all the work. And it's not me doing it. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory doing it. And there's great joy and peace in that, where I'm submitted to God, explaining to him, I can't make this happen, but God, I know you can. And it's true for everybody. Listen to me, church, listen to me, because some of you, especially those of you believe there's certain good kind of Christians and certain okay kind of Christians and certain bad kind of Christians. No, there's only Christians and non-Christians. And there's Christians who are filled with the Spirit who live it out. And there's Christians who are Christians who aren't filled with the Spirit who can't. And then there are non-Christians. That's all there is. If you're a believer, you can live life to the full the same way any believer you read about in church history has. Every single one. And it has nothing to do with how good you are. It has to do with your ownership of the fact that you have an identity in Christ and a certainty of a new life in him. Amen? Let me tell you a second thing the resurrection of Christ provides us with. It provides us with the hope that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. The hope that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Not only certainty that we can live this new life, but hope. Hope that this life is coming. Notice what he says in verse 23. But each in his own order will be made alive. Christ, the first fruits, which we've already talked about. After that, those who are in Christ at his coming. When Jesus Christ comes back, we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. When Jesus comes back, regardless of your timing understanding of when that's going to happen, and I'm not going to get into that today, but regardless of what that is, here's what I'm here to tell you. Jesus Christ is coming back fully, bodily, physically, in all of his glory. When he does, those of us who know him will be resurrected for life with him forever and ever. Amen. And that what Christ rose from the dead, that same life, that's going to be our resurrected life in him. Amen. It says, then comes the end when he hands the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put his enemies under his feet. Amen. Let me tell you what the scripture points out. When Jesus Christ comes back, you will not need to ask your neighbor, has he come? Is he here? You will see with your own eyes him ruling and reigning on planet Earth. And while there are different understandings of this, and some believe, hey, it all happens in a moment, others like me will say, no, there's going to be a millennial reign for 1,000 years where he's going to demolish all of his enemies. However you understand that, let me be crystal clear on this. When Jesus comes back for his own to judge the living and the dead, he will rule and reign. He will have all authority. He will have all power. There will be none that will match his. Amen? And then he says this, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. There won't be any other contenders. I mean, there won't be like there's Jesus who's the Lord and then there's this guy over here who's not quite the Lord, but he's kind of like him. No, there'll be Jesus and nobody else. It's a monarchy. Jesus will be king. He's ruling and reigning now, but you're going to see him fully bodily and physically rule and reign as the scriptures teach. The last enemy that will be abolished is what? It's death. Is that not good news or what?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Resurrection Life, from the series Stronger, outlining three things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides for us individually and as a church. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.